Hi, folks. We are back in the same place where we were this morning, Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. We're going to be reading quite a bit of scripture here tonight. I hope it blesses you. But this says this, that very day, that is the day of first day of the week, that's Sunday. The women had been to the tomb and it had been reported that Jesus had been raised from the dead by angels. And they came back to the 12 and the disciples that were hiding out someplace in Jerusalem. And Peter goes and sees the empty tomb and everybody doesn't know what to think. Everybody's, well, they just don't know. And so that very day, verse 13, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still and looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, that's Jesus, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests, the rulers, delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he would be the one who redeemed Israel. And yes, even besides all this, it is now the third day since this happened. And moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early this morning and did not find his body. And they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who had said Jesus was alive. Some of those came back saying, and some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. And he said to them, "O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures concerning himself." And so they drew near to the village which they were going, and he appeared to be going further. But they constrained him, saying, "Stay with us. It's towards evening, and the day is far spent." And so he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table, he took the bread and blessed yet and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, and while he opened to us the scripture?" And they arose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 gathered together, and those who were with them, who said, "The Lord's risen indeed, he's appeared to Simon." And they told what happened to them on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Glorious stuff. Okay. I was telling my wife a while ago that I was thinking about starting to write out all my sermon. What do you think, Roy Dean? Should I just write it all out, every word? I don't know. Well, I nearly brought to you today my notes that said across the top, and the only notes I was going to have would be the title tonight, The Disappointed Christian. And that's our subject, The Disappointed Christian. Here are these two fellows taking a walk to Emmaus. We don't know where that town was, by the way. No one can figure it out, and of course people argue over it. But one of them's named, and I don't know. We don't know what the other fellow was, but Cleopas is now famous. But listen to the pertinent phrase, the pivotal phrase. Verse 21, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And you notice that that's in the past tense. We had hoped. They hadn't lost their love for Jesus. They said he was a prophet, mighty indeed, in word before God and all the people. But nevertheless, it hadn't turned out. They'd lost hope. They were the disappointed Christian. And that's, if I did write a few other little notes than that. But that's our subject, the disappointed Christian. This is the fellow that's let down about life in Christianity. I had thought things would go better than this, he says to himself. I don't like how things are turning out, how things are happening, he says to himself. This fellow is the frumpy, irritable, downcast, sad fellow. Now you read it here. Verse 17. What is this conversation, Jesus asked them, which you were holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still. They just stopped in the road. What's it say? Anybody tell me? They looked sad. The disappointed Christian. These are the guys that have been put through the ringer and have come out the other side flat. Just this morning we talked about why this had happened to him and how it could have happened to him, how St. Augustine says we don't realize how the shock of the crucifixion had leveled them all. And I want to lay into that one more time. These guys loved Jesus. They had seen glory. Glory that was almost unimaginable. They had seen Lazarus come out of a grave, who had been dead, flat, dead. They had seen Jesus be merciful to tax gatherers and sinners and prostitutes. And they'd seen Jesus do and say things that were startling in revelation to them. They had seen stuff that, I'm telling you, the cross wiped it all out in their mind. It was so horrible. Now you say, how could that happen? Well, you haven't been there. They took Jesus and nailed him to some lumber. And he hung there all day. And they made fun of him and they poked him, and there was two other guys besides there. Crucifixion is a horrible thing. We wouldn't do that to a dog anymore. The only people that crucify anybody today are Muslims. I'm going to stay after the Muslims in this place. Crucifixion was absolutely ghastly. So here's this one who could walk on water. crucified. I just don't think we get it. We've read it and heard it. It just kind of flows off our back like water on a duck's back, you know. We just hardly, it doesn't grip us anymore. But I'm telling you, it laid them low. And so they said, we had hoped that he'd be the one to redeem Israel. Past tense. Their own people had done it. The very people you'd count on in Jerusalem to stand up for the things of God, the chief priest, had done it. That's even worse. The people had turned against him and said, we want Barabbas. What do you want me to do to this man? Crucify him. This, it's just, we don't get it. I just think if they just, all the people in all the Baptist churches around here got together and said, all right, we're going to kill Jesus. How shocking that would be to us. Would it not? How devastating to our faith. Everything that we thought was wonderful about Israel, the people that would go into that temple and do the great sacrifice every year, the sacrifice of atonement, these are the ones that turned against him. I'm telling you, every once in a while I get bitter about politics, about how things are going. You have no idea how these guys felt. They were laid low. So, can you kind of understand how they might be disappointed? Okay. So, we do fall to disappointment. And Jesus said to them, verse 25, you read it. What's the first word? What's he say to them? Oh, foolish man. You just didn't see it. You look up this word foolishness. Foolishness is folly, expressing itself in irrationality. One Greek dictionary just went right to the heart of it. Foolish, this, when he says foolish men, he was saying stupid. You guys. I mean, I'm telling you, I could bring it up here and show it to you. Oh, foolish men. Irrational, unwise, not seeing things that you should see. It's interesting that that was part of their disappointment. They just, didn't get it. Mark talked about this morning about plan B and plan A. They didn't get plan A. They didn't get plan B. They didn't get anything. But this was the plan, and we're going to get to it in a minute. Jesus proceeds in a minute here. We're going to read it. From Moses through the prophets to explain to them, this is what it was all about. Anyway, they're foolish. I want you to let it soak in a minute. Sometimes you and I can be really dense. I know I can. And I know the Lord just looks at me with a pitying eye. And he thinks, if he could just see it. Glory is coming. And then it says they were slow of heart or full of unbelief, or just to be precise, they were slow of heart to believe. What that means is they were slackers in their thinking. I don't know. You know, people that don't just slackers. They don't want to stretch their mind any bit. These guys Slow of heart means that they were slack. Their minds were dull and inactive to grasp the Scripture. And Christ here berates them. Have you ever read the Scripture and did get anything out of it? I want you to know that's a bad place to be. It's a bad place to be. That was part of their problem. That was their slowness of heart to believe the Scripture was part of their being a disappointed Christian. They had inaccurate expectations. They had come to God with expectations that just didn't correspond to reality. I don't know. At the moment I had some examples. Somehow they're not coming to my mind. But I'm just telling you, they didn't expect this stuff. It was glory to a point, and it was wonderful to a point, and they were just awed by it all. But when it came to that cross business, they did not expect it. They had inaccurate expectations. They thought Jesus was going to lead the nation to revolt against Rome, and they were going to get good leaders, and everything was going to be just fine. And then these constantly surprising events happened. All of a sudden, okay, he's dead. We're dealing with that. And then the women. It was so interesting that you brought that up, because I have that in my notes right here. He says it here. Verse 22. Do you hear the tone of it? And moreover, some women in our company said they saw him alive. Now, one of the marvels of the New Testament, I'm so glad you mentioned that, about the people that wrote our hymns. Fanny Crosby, I mean, how many hymns does she... Mercy. But listen, sometimes we just don't like the way God does things. That could cause us to be a disappointed Christian. Well, Lord, did you have to do it that way and use women? I want you to know, one of the marvels of the New Testament is that they were women that first saw that empty tomb and came back and said, he's alive. Now, I'm going to hit the Muslims one more time. You wouldn't get Muslims doing that. They hate women. Well, they're going to start and put these things on the internet. I may ought to not say this stuff. But see, sometimes we just don't like the way God does things. You know, maybe he uses some little boy in the church service and he stands up in the service and he says, I love God with all my heart. And revival breaks out. Well, we don't want God to have a revival break out that way. We want a scholar to be teaching the Bible that has a PhD and a THD and a XYC and all that stuff. We want God to do it our way. And that can cause disappointment. And moreover, this morning, women. And it, by the way, the Gospels are clear about this. No one believed them. The reason I get to talk this way is because Brother Mark back there, when I first went to Fredonia Hill Baptist Church, it really shook me up that Mrs. Dotson had God on her, and she was a wonderful teacher that she was. I just wasn't quite ready for it. But it was wonderful. But it took me a little while. By the way, Philip had how many daughters who were prophets? Seven. Didn't it? Seven daughters? Someone looked that up on the internet. No, I'm kidding. Don't. Philip had daughters that were prophets. Someone says, well, I don't think women should speak in the church. Well, Philip had seven daughters who prophesied. And the reply is, well, they didn't do it in church. Where did they do it? In the woods? Yeah, I'm just telling you, sometimes we just don't like what God does. And so here are these guys that are foolish. They're kind of goofy. They don't get it. And they saw this terrible thing, and now they're crushed. And they had, the scripture didn't speak to what they had seen as far as they were concerned. They had inaccurate expectations. They thought Jesus was going to get an army. Lord, we have these swords. Lord, we have swords. I mean, yeah, remember that? Look, Lord, we have swords. That's enough, he says. They just didn't get it. So this leads to disappointment. Now, what's the solution? The scripture. Number one. It says, Jesus, beginning with Genesis or with Moses, opened the Bible to them. And quite literally it says he translated it to them. You know, some people need it to be explained to them word by word. Just as if you were reading a foreign language to them. And I'm telling you, sometimes the Bible is a foreign language to us. If you're not the Spirit of God, now there comes a time when God just kind of breathes on you and the Word of God just lives. But Jesus opens the Scripture to him, and it says he, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Interpreted is a good word as well. Or to translate or explain the Scripture. Sometimes we need it to just to be explained to us. And we go say, oh, okay, I see it. But well, like we said this morning, this didn't open their eyes. The explanation of the Scripture here didn't cause these guys to see. They didn't know Jesus was Jesus until he broke the bread. What really broke it open for them is he was alive. I know this. This is my, I know this man. I walked with him for 3 years. I've seen him break the bread over and over and over again. He's alive. They turn around at that point and go back to Jerusalem and say, we've seen him. And they say, we have too. Peter saw him this morning. And everybody's, glory be. And just so you know what happens next, all of a sudden Jesus appears in that very room. Just like he disappeared on the road, he appears in the room with them. This is the glory. But I just want to repeat. The solution to our being a disappointed Christian is the Scripture. And we will find in Scripture things that will comfort us when things don't turn out like we think they should. Now, ultimately, though, sometimes we just need a personal, direct, revelatory exchange with Jesus. It won't come to us. It won't help us out of our frumpiness and our foolishness and our unbelief and slowness of heart. What we really need is Jesus just to come to us and reveal himself to us, and we see him for who he is. Nothing is like that. I'm telling you, You can't get a guy being a Bible teacher, and just because he's silver-tongued, do what we need. Just because he's... Don't you just love the fact that that guy preached to Spurgeon and just said, look, look. Just some guy at a Methodist chapel, isn't that how it happened? And Spurgeon was saved. And it's happened over and over down through history. Sometimes we need a personal, somehow, touch from God. And it may come in the oddest sort of ways. It may come when we are all alone. It may come when we're down and out. I was sitting right over there where Lebeth is, just right next to her. One day when I needed help in this church, and I wasn't getting it because I was so low and so downcast and so absolutely miserable. And it's like God went over there, touched me. And I said, okay. Sometimes we don't need it explained to us. That's all we need. I won't tell you what he said to me, because that would take a whole bunch of other stuff. Sometimes what we need is a personal, direct encounter, a revelatory encounter with Jesus. And you won't be able to put it in words. You just know that you know that you know he's come to you and changed it. And we just sang it a while ago, and we just say it now as we sang it. Oh, Jesus, come to us this day. Open my eyes that I may see. Who it is that walks with me? And the thing that they didn't get, if you want to put it in a few words, is that Christ, suffering these things, would enter his glory. That the exaltation that it speaks of in Psalm chapter 110, verses 1 and 2, Lord, sit at my right hand until... The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I might make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. The Lord will stretch forth his strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of thine enemies. That Christ would be exalted on high in the heavens, but how would he get there? Through the cross. That's what they didn't see. The whole scripture seemed to just be darkness to them. But soon the New Testament writers would be alive with the ability to interpret the Old Testament and see things that men didn't see before. Psalm 22, verses 1, I'm going to read the whole thing. Listen to the flow of it. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. O my God, I cry by day, and thou dost not answer. By night, but I have no rest, yet thou art holy. O thou who art enthroned upon the praises of Israel, in thee our fathers trusted, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. To thee they cried out, and were delivered. In thee they trusted, and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach among men, despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate the lip, they wag the head, saying, you committed yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver you. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him. Yet thou art he who didst bring me forth from my womb, from thy womb. Pardon me, from the womb. Thou didst make me trust upon my mother's breast. Upon thee I was cast from birth. Thou hast been my God from my mother's womb. just goes back and forth from prayer of Christ. I hope you get in the flow of this. I'm sorry I'm reading it so poorly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. There's none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me as a raving and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaves to my jaw. Thou dost lay me in the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers have encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me, and they divide my garments among them, and they cast lots for them. Here's a mysterious verse that would soon be just opened up to the New Testament writers, wouldn't it not? O Lord, be not far off. O thou my help, hasten to my assistance. Deliver my soul from the sword, my only life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and the horns of the wild ox. I will tell of thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will praise thee. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you descendants of Israel, for he hath not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him for help, he heard. Oh, glory, you guys, I tell you, when Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God in heaven heard it. And Christ felt forsaken that day, but God in heaven heard it. And Christ was right on the edge of being exalted to the right hand of God, where he would rule in the midst of his enemies, exalted to the heavens. Psalm. Well, let's just read this one. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come, they made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating. As they predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Acts chapter 3, verse 8. But these things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer and thus fulfill them. I'm just going to skip a little bit here. Speaking of Christ, whom heaven must receive and give welcome and accept and to keep until the period of restoration of all things. Christ would go through the cross to the exaltation at the right hand of God. And so Colossians and Ephesians can say to us today, set your mind on the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. There's glory there. Glory there. And horror, something, badness here. And we are to set our minds on that, on the things that are above. Okay. And Christ set about to teach those fellows those things from Scripture. So I just say, will we say with those two fellows we had hoped that Jesus would redeem Israel? I'm telling you, there have been times when I just didn't like things, why things were going. When I go through this list of things of being bad, I've done them all. I just didn't count on this. I didn't count on the way things would turn out or things that would happen, unhappy things, or children would suffer, or the job that I had would turn out the way it was. et cetera, et cetera. How many odd things can we complain about? Lehabeth is so mean to me. You know I'm kidding. But some of us are mad about our wives or our husbands or how much money we make or how, I don't know, we're disappointed Christians. And God would not have us so. And so this is my prayer. Lord, make us quick and nimble of heart to believe the Scripture. And if need be, Lord, just come to us like you did to poor old Cleopas and break bread in front of him so he sees. And make our hearts burn afresh with the Scripture. Lately, I've been telling this to my wife, and I'll close with this. I can't sleep at night. I don't know what it is, except I can't. I used to think I knew what it was, but I don't know what it is anymore. But you know how my mind relaxes back down and I can go back to sleep? I get up and drink a Red Bull. Why would you do that if you want to sleep? Because they calm me down. Anyway, I drink one of those and I sit there and with my Bible and I open it up and I lose myself in the Scripture for about an hour and a half. And I think, my, I feel better. And I go back to sleep. Now, I hope that continues. I kind of got a feeling the devil's going to attack that. You know, now that I've said it, he's going to go after that tooth and nail. But I'm telling you, the Scripture and Jesus just being in front of him helps. And Lord, keep us all from being a disappointed Christian. Disappointments are coming. But may they not get us. Okay, let's pray. Father, we ask your help in our lives. We pray that Jesus would come and walk down the road with us. Father, we'd have him come to us and break bread with us. And may we see that he is alive. Christ the Lord is risen today to the chagrin of all enemies and all things that would oppose it. He is alive. Father, write these things on our heart. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.